We're looking at Proverbs today. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Now these are the wisdom sayings of Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. And there's two verses we're going to look at today, focus on. The fifth and the sixth verse of Proverbs 3, which says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The topic today is following divine guidance. Following divine guidance. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for just blessing us once again. We thank you, Lord, for just allowing your word to shine forth, Father. We just thank you. As I stand here to preach this message, Lord, I pray that ears are open and hearts are clear to hear what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As we look at Proverbs, there are very impactful guidance to help us with our daily lives. We need guidance. Amen?
Yes, amen.
We need guidance. And one thing I have found that we can either accept the guidance provided or we can reject it. But usually if we reject it, we end up doing double the work, double the effort, with half the results. When you drive down the street, there are signs of guidance. Signs that say, slow down. Signs that say, sharp corner ahead. You know, we know the speed limit is 55, but we see that sign saying, curve coming up, 35. There's a reason. You keep on going 55, you might not make it. Amen? You can either accept it or reject it. We receive guidance from our friends. And sometimes we don't hear what we want to hear. We will ask somebody else until we find that one person that will tell us what we want to hear. Guidance. Guidance. We have electrical devices in our vehicles now called GPSs. They're even in our phones. They provide guidance. Sometimes we think we know a better way, only to go back to what the GPS is telling us to go. But there is one guidance that we need above all guidance, and that's the guidance from the Lord. As we look at Solomon's continuation of his thoughtful guidance, in verse 1, he says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So that's the beginning verses, the first four verses. Talks about what it takes to find favor with God and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Then he goes on to talk about the guidance that we need. And I dare say that there is a prerequisite for us to receive the divine guidance. There's three things here I want to highlight for us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Number one, in order to really follow and embrace, accept divine guidance, we need to have complete confidence in God. We need to have confidence in God. That means to trust God. So that's the number one point, having confidence in him. Confidence enough to build a relationship with him. Know him so well that we don't have to be reminded of how we should walk.
Say it.
You know, every now and then we tend to forget that we are a Christian.
Tell it.
And we want to lay our religion down, as old folks used to say, and take care of certain things in our own way. But we have to be mindful that we are a child of God. And to really develop as a child of God, we need to have confidence in Him. We need to trust Him. In order to do that, we need to build a relationship with Him. My wife is fond of saying that she knows what I'm thinking sometimes. She knows what I'm about to do or say sometimes.
Yeah.
That's because she's been with me for a whole lot of years. 38 years we've been together. So when you have a relationship like that, you kind of know each other.
Yeah.
You kind of know what they're going through. You know when they don't feel good. You know when they have an inspiration in their head and they're not saying anything.
Tell it.
But you know different things. So if we want to have confidence in God, if we want to trust God, we have to build a relationship with Him.
Yeah.
We need to build a relationship with them, and that relationship grows as we mature in Christ. But we will never get to the point where we think we know Him all in all.
Come on.
You know, once we get to the point where we are no longer amazed by what God is doing in our lives, then something is wrong with us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Because we should constantly be amazed at what He is doing, not only in our lives, but in our fellow church members' lives, our friends' lives, our family life, what He's doing in the world. David knew Him so well that he hid His word in his heart. So he would not sin against Him. In other words, David knew the word of God so well that he did not have to rely on his Bible to tell him what to do. He did not have to rely on his friends to tell him what to do. He did not have to rely on his pastor to tell him what to do. Because he knew the word that well. And that ended up helping him out. That time period when he had to run away from Saul and had to hide. He didn't have the benefit of going to somebody asking for guidance. He needed to know the word of the Lord for himself. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Heart is the Hebrew word for heart. It's the same word for emotions. Emotion. So if we're talking about our heart condition, it's where all of our choices flow from. Our decisions come from. Our motives come from. Our intentions come from. And our intention must be to follow and be directed by God's will. So confidence in God is a prerequisite for divine guidance. Trust in the Lord with all the heart. The second thing is we must be committed to God. We can have confidence in God, but are we committed to God? And that's that second part of verse 5. And lean not unto thine own understanding. This is a caution about self-sufficiency. We lean on different things. When we get tired, we can lean on people. We can lean on the knowledge of others. There are different things, again, that we can lean on. But when you lean on something, it means that you are leaning on something stronger than yourself. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So if I'm walking, you know, on a trail and get tired, I can lean against a tree. Because I'm assuming that tree, I've kind of checked it out first, make sure it's not a dead tree, make sure it's not something I'm going to knock over, but I'm going to find a big tree, also going to make sure no snakes are hanging from the limbs, but I'm going to lean against that tree, because that tree is stronger than I am, that tree can support me, I'm going to lean on something else. But this is telling us not to lean on our own understanding.
Yes.
We cannot afford to lean on our own intellect. We will never be too smart to be smarter than God. We can think we've got it all figured out. We can look at all the options. We can break open all the biblical dictionaries, all the commentaries, all the theological books that we have, and we can still not know how God does what He does.
Yeah.
We need to be committed to him. Lean not unto our own understanding. Lean not. Everything must be directed towards God and let his will be shown. So if you want to follow divine guidance, you have to have confidence in God. And you have to have a commitment to God. And get rid of your own self-sufficiency. You know, there are people in our lives that we just cannot help. They want to do everything themselves. Then they'll come around and ask for help after they have exhausted everything that they can do. They will sheepishly come and say, "Can you help me with this?" You know, I love hanging around, when I was younger, hanging around older folks, because they had so much knowledge.
Yeah.
They knew how to do things. And you ask them something about a car, they could tell you. You ask them about some home repair, and they could tell you. You ask them about how to do this, how to do that, how to handle your finances, they could tell you. And the reason they could tell you is because they had gone through it all themselves. They had already gone through the mistakes that we make in life. And they now are at a point where they say, "I'm leaning on you, Lord." There was a song by Bill Withers years ago, "Lean on Me." Amen? Lean on me. I know some of y'all know the words. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know there's always a tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, and I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long that I'm going to need somebody to lean on. There's something about needing something to lean on. Then there's another song in our hymnal. Oh, what a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. That was one of my songs. I was a deacon years ago. The deacons had to open up Bible study, and we open it with a song and a prayer. Well, you know, I'm not the greatest singer in the world, so I always had a sister on the corner, Blanche Carlton, and I'd always tell her what song I was going to sing. So I said, "Okay, I'm going to sing this song, and when it's time to sing, you start singing first because you're loud, and then I like kind of mouth the words or something." So she would always do it. And this is one of our songs, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." And the other one was "Blessed Assurance." And that hymnal is on page 27. I still remember it after all these years. But we all need somebody to lean on. And I'm suggesting leaning on Jesus Christ. So we have confidence in the Lord. We have commitment to the Lord. Then in verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." Number 3, the third point is we need to completely acknowledge the Lord. We need to have complete acknowledgement of the Lord. "In all thine ways acknowledge him." Not that some of your ways acknowledge him, but in all your ways acknowledge him. We come to a point sometimes where we know we should be sharing a word about God with people. We might not be in a church setting, but something just keeps us from saying anything. When the conversation goes that way and people are talking about our God, where is our courage at that moment? Where is our commitment at that moment? We need to rely on God if we want divine guidance. We need to acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Yes, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. Yes, I serve other masters in the workplace, in the home. But Lord, you are the one who overrules all of them. So Lord, I want to commit myself to you. So I'm going to acknowledge you wherever I am. I'm going to sing your praises wherever I am. I'm going to let everybody know that the source of my strength is not based on my intellect, because I'm not that smart. Amen? But it is you, oh Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So see, if you trust him, if you commit to him, and if you completely acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. Yes. That's a promise. Amen. God will direct our ways. We have assurance that God will guide us in our daily lives. I have a few points I want to lift up about God's guidance. Matter of fact, there's five of them. Number one, God's guidance is personal. Each of us has our own journey. And God has gifted us for that journey. I can't be guided by your path. And you can't be guided by my path. We might walk along together on some other path. But you have your own passions. You have your own giftedness. You have your own ideal of what God wants you to be. So God's guidance is personal. So don't be ashamed that you're not running as fast as somebody else. Don't be ashamed that you're not growing as quickly as others are. Don't be ashamed when you cannot make it as high as somebody else can make it. Amen? So don't be ashamed. We all have our personal guidance system. My GPS, I used to be able, my first one, I could change the voices of the GPS, and I would name each one of them because I felt like I had a personal guide. And I would leave mine sometimes on the British lady, and Miss Silver didn't like that too much, the way she talked, but it helped me out along with my guidance because that was personal to me. Number two, God's guidance is practical. It is practical. He has a solution for all circumstances. Might not be a solution we want to follow. Might not be the same solution he gave somebody else. But he has a solution for us. Sometimes solutions hurt. They really hurt. I listened to a person who's very good with money management. And people call in and ask for advice. How can I save more money? How can I make my money last for the month? And each person, he will listen to their circumstances and he will give them guidance for them. But one of the most popular guidance I hear him say is sell some of the stuff you have. Get rid of some of the things you have. You don't need three cars if you're trying to make ends meet. You don't need all of this. He gives solutions that are tailored to them. But most people, they have a point where I just want you to tell me how to make more money. I don't want you to tell me to sell my cars. I don't want you to tell me I need to move into a smaller house. I don't want you to tell me that I need to rent 5 more years instead of buying. I don't need you to tell me all that. I want more money. But what they don't realize, he's giving them advice how to have more money, how to maximize what they have. Practical. God's advice to us is practical. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes we have to give up something that is so dear and near to us. But if we hold on, by and by, we will see the reason for the advice. We will see the reason why it was for us. It was personal to us. It was practical for us. And it was for us. The third thing, God's guidance is perfect. Perfect. It is reliable. It is infallible and trustworthy without sin. Don't you know that we serve a perfect God who wants to develop perfect people for the perfect church? Ephesians 4:12 tells us that he gave gifted leaders to the church before the perfecting or equipping of the saints.
Yeah.
Ephesians 5:26, Jesus loved the church so much that he died for it so he could cleanse it and present it to himself without spot or wrinkle, holy, without blemish. So God's guidance is perfect. The fourth thing God's guidance is, I love this one, is patient. It's patient.
Thank you, Lord.
While raising children, we have to be patient. Sometimes while raising adults, we have to be patient. Remember when they were real small. Remember the first time they got to the point where they wanted to feed themselves. It took twice as long. More food ended up on the floor of the table than in their mouth. You wanted to grab their hands and guide it, but you knew that in order for them to grow, they had to learn to do it for themselves. Remember when they first started trying to walk by themselves? They spent more time on the ground than they did walking. We wanted to grab them. We knew it was faster if we picked them up and walked. But they had to learn how to walk. We had to be patient with them. We watched them struggle with their homework. Sometimes we wanted to take the pen and just write the answers in for them just to get it over with. But we have to be patient. Romans 15:5 tells us that we have a patient God. 2 Peter 3:15 tells us that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. God is patient. He knows that we have to grow into what he wants us to be. He knows that we won't get there overnight. Therefore, he is patient. When he met with Moses in Ephesians 34:6, he announced himself as a long-suffering God. And certainly the children of Israel needed a long-suffering God. God was patient with the generation in Noah's day, but enough was enough. He was patient with Sodom. He was patient with the arrogant and stiff-necked people of Israel. We find in Nehemiah, he was patient. And he is patient with us. But patience does not mean unlimited time. Don't make a mistake. There was a popular song years ago, "Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. But when he is through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold." God is patient. His guidance is patient. He realized that we will stumble more than we will succeed in the beginning. But each stumbling block should be a learning experience so that they become stepping stones to greater things. You can't have the step unless you have the stumble. Amen? You got the stumble first. But as we grow in Christ, we need to quit stumbling and start stepping. He is patient. And the fifth thing is God is, his guidance is perfect or permanent. Permanent. It is permanent. Y'all know permanent. You ever write with permanent ink and try and erase it? You will tear the paper up before you erase it. There's two types of scotch tape in our house. One is permanent and one is removable. There are times when I want something, I want to tape something, and want to move it later. I use the removable. But I know if I make a mistake and don't read the label, and use the permanent tape. Uh-huh. It ain't coming off. I just have to start all over again. We serve a permanent God, a God who is always with us, who will stick with us through thick and thin. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Solomon's prayer in 1 Kings 8:57, the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. Permanent, we serve a permanent. You know, and there are a lot of things in life that are not permanent. Mm-hmm. You know, every time I see a new building going up or a shopping mall go up, you think it's permanent. You see things that are permanent. But how many places have you lived long enough to see go out of business? Yes. Uh-huh. Seem like they are hardly open. Right. Businesses open. They're not permanent. There is only one thing permanent in this life, and that is God. Amen? Amen? That is the only thing that is permanent. John talks about the Lord and what he would do in Luke chapter 3, verses 4 and 6. Now I'll use this in conclusion. He says, as it was written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. Each and every one of us has our journey. Each and every one of us needs divine guidance. Each and every one of us has had valleys that we have had to look at. We have had mountains that look too high to climb, and we have had crooked places that we wish were straight. Now, see, I go a lot of places that some people won't go. You know, and I will go on trails in the woods and in the mountains and stuff like that. And but I noticed something. You got a whole lot of people on the four-lane highway. But when it gets two lanes, there are less cars with you. And then when you get to the crooked roads, there's even less cars with you. The winding, crooked roads, there are less cars. Then when you get the roads that aren't even paved, there will be even less cars with you. Because if you want to get to the place where God is leading you, you have to realize that that is not the journey of everybody else. Amen? Amen. That is not the journey that everybody else is going to follow. Your journey is for you. So do not be disappointed when you are on your journey. And you see the valleys filled, but others see them too low to go down to. Don't be surprised when you are on your journey and God is calling you to a higher mountaintop and others are looking at it and saying, that is too high for me to get up to. You go up. I will stay here and support you from here. Don't be surprised when you see the crooked roads and others get left behind. Don't be surprised when you have to navigate all by yourself. Don't be surprised when you get on the rough roads. Somebody will say, my tires aren't built for this. I'm not ready for this. It might get dark when I'm out there. I'm not going to go any further. Don't be surprised when others don't see what God has shown you. When others don't have the same vision that God has given you. That's what divine guidance is. It's for us. Yes. It is personal to us. It is practical for us. What is practical for me might not be practical for you. It is perfect for us. It is patient with us. And it is permanent. Divine guidance comes from acknowledging the Lord. Comes from being committed to the Lord. Comes from having confidence in the Lord. And you will see things that others don't see.
Yes.
You will see things. You will have confidence in knowing that God is still taking care of you. Even though you have that doctor's appointment tomorrow where you're going to see the test results. You don't know what they are, but you know you have confidence in the Lord. We serve a perfect God. We serve a God who is too good to leave us alone.
Yes.
It might not be what we want to hear, but we have God with us throughout the journey.
Yes.
Following divine guidance. Two choices, our way or his way.
Mm.
This is not Burger King. Our way or his way.
Yes.
We can do it our way and receive the failures.
Uh-huh.
Or we can do it his way and succeed.
Yes.
It's our choice. Two verses from Proverbs. Two verses. But so much power packed with them. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Following divine guidance.
Yes.
Amen.